This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, welcome back. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a big moment, I think, for a lot of people who were here when WIP first really became a part of the culture of sports fans in this town, because he was one of the first people that left the Inquirer to come here and became almost an immediate hit working in the afternoons and with Steve Fredericks and then later with Howard Eskin. And he is no longer in radio, but it sounds like he's too busy to do radio. It is a great honor to have on our show today, former star of WIP and other stations, but I'm not mentioning them, Mr. Mike Missinelli. Hi, Mike. How are you today?
Am I in the twilight zone here?
Come on, Mike.
It's been 20 years since my voice has been on this station.
20 years since we heard Mike Missinelli's voice. But, Mike, how were those 10 or so years you did here? Did you love it?
Oh, well, listen, we told stories. So I had you on the podcast telling the stories of the early days and how the station evolved. It's an amazing story, really. We all jumped into it, and you went first, and we all jumped into it, and we made a pretty good success out of it. None of us expecting, I don't think, that we were going to be that successful. But, somebody was sending out a picture of an old lineup, and we had guys like Chuck Cooperstein in there. Yeah. And, remember those days when... And the station we had a really good flow back then. And I think people really jumped on it.
But, Mike, can we admit the truth now? None of us had any idea what we were doing when we first came here. Am I right?
You did.
No, I did not. I faked it for a long time.
You faked it pretty well because you went from, here's the thing about you is that I used to watch you as a journalist at the Inquirer, and you're a serious guy. I mean, it's just a serious get-the-story type of guy. And then you clicked the switch and became a personality within a day and went to radio. And it's just like this whole different Angelo came out. And you learned right away what you needed to do. You showed a personality, and you created a kind of a blueprint on how to do it. And then we all followed it.
All right, but Mike, here's the real truth. You had a way back fallback than I did because you had the writing, which you were great at, and you had a law degree. You were a lawyer. You could have done that. Was this more fun than that other stuff? Is that why you liked it?
I took a shot at it. I really did. The Inquirer, I stayed. I got the law degree when I was still working at the Inquirer, and I was ready to leave the Inquirer. They offered me the college basketball beat. The first assignment was in Hawaii.
Oh.
And so I go, I'm going to cover the Maui Classic. So I figured I would put it on hold for a year, and then I really started to like it because, listen, newspapers back then had a budget, and we were flying all around to do stories, and it didn't feel like work, and all these guys I went to law school with were miserable. And then it came to the end where it started to get old because a bad editor came in, if you remember.
Oh, he killed it!
Yeah, so we were doing these little hits on WIP, and they were always frowning on it. The Inquirer fought us because they were the ivory tower, and they looked at sports radio like it was so beneath them. So we always got that, and it just got to the point where newspapers kind of got old. And what you jumped, what we all noticed it, and then out of the blue, I guess Eskin had left to go somewhere, and out of the blue, they offered me the evening drive spot with Steve Fredericks. I had been doing weekends with Stan Hockman, not thinking it would ever turn into a full-time job, and just out of the blue, they did. And they were paying more money in the Inquirer, so...
Yeah, that's all it was, Mike. That's all. I came here for $20,000 more. That's all it was.
Yes. But it was 20 grand more was like significant to us. We were, you know, slaving this newspaper guy making like $50,000 or whatever it was at the time. And I said, you know, what do I have to lose? He offered me a 1-year contract to work with Steve Frederick to do Evening Drive. I said, if it doesn't work out, I can practice law or whatever I was going to do. And I took a shot, and it worked.
All right, but people should know, Steve Fredericks was one of the true building blocks. He was one of the first that ever did it. He and Howard were the first two. What was that like, Mike, to go in there? You're in drive time with very little experience working with an icon. What was it like working with Steve?
That's a really good question because I didn't know how it was going to work. Steve obviously had 9 lives, right? And this was kind of like the 9th life that he was on. And at first, he was the bombastic Steve who was used to being that guy. And then I think he realized that that I was the wise ass and that he would be better off playing to me. And he figured that out right away because he was a radio pro. And then from that point on, he like became the back guy. He was the straight man to me. And I think that's what worked about him because he allowed me to mess with him a lot without getting angry.
Michael.
He knew. No, he knew.
Rhea.
He knew entertainment. Rhea was one of
your
producers,
producer,
right, Mike?
Yes, Rhea was one of the first producers we ever had.
And Joe Wechter. He was one.
Right. You know, she could tell you a million stories about Steve, but here's the thing about Steve that was most entertaining to me. During the commercials, he would tell me a story out of the blue because he had such a full life. I mean, he was all over the place with radio in Boston and this and that. And, of course, he had the problem, the drug problems, and there were all these kind of stories. And I remember one, like, during the commercial, I would muse. I had a newspaper. Remember newspapers? I used to look at stories in the newspaper, and I saw this story about Fred Grandy, who was Gopher on the Love Boat.
Yeah, I know him, yeah. What about
him? So he was running for governor of Iowa or senator of Iowa, something like that. Look at this, Gopher is running for political office. Steve blurts out, yeah, I used to do drugs with that guy.
What? No way!
I go, what? he goes, yeah, we were all members of an acting troupe in Boston, and we used to go out in this boat in the Boston Harbor, and you know, he'd be dropping acid. And by the end of the day, his face would be by the propeller.
Oh, my God. He was... Oh.
I go, and these were stories that would come out, like, almost every commercial in his life. And then he adds this. It. He goes, yeah, that's when I was dating Jane Curtin.
Oh, he dated Jane Curtin from Saturday Night Live?
Exactly. And these stories would blow me away. And he would tell them, like naturally, you know, like, and he, you know, he was... I miss him a lot, man. He was great.
All right, so I can't ignore this part of your WIP history. After you and Steve were broken up for whatever reason, you ended up with Howard Eskin, the other icon building block of sports talk in Philadelphia. First of all, were you in favor of that when they told you?
Well, no, because they had Steve and I were a team.
Yeah.
So they... Eskin came back to radio from doing TV, and they thought that putting us together would be a good show, but they kind of like threw Steve out the door, and they gave him like night hours or whatever. So I wasn't in favor of it, and I didn't think it would work but because we were just, you know, we were like, to me, our chemistry wasn't good. Like Howard is what he is, but what he isn't is a team guy. So to do a show with a guy like that was really difficult when he wouldn't play along as a team. Now, you know how that works. You guys have the ultimate team.
Well, it is much harder that way. You know, I have said that publicly, and he's gotten angry about it because he has. I will say this, Mike. He has become more one now than he ever was in those early years. But you still had a very successful show with him, didn't you?
We went on for 3 years. A lot of people liked it. Some people didn't. I literally wanted to kill him every day.
Really?
Mike, do you know what we found amusing? Those of us who were producers, you guys sitting in the parking lot in your cars and seeing which one was going to come into the studio first.
No, that isn't true.
I he would never come into the studio first.
No, that was true.
He would come in within 10 seconds of the show being started, saying, "What went on today?" And I, so, you know, it was stressful for me because I'm an A-type personality, want to do the right thing, and he's an A-type of personality, and we clashed.
All right, Mike, the big thing is people know you left. There was an altercation with the producer, et cetera, et cetera. Looking back now, because you ended up having a terrific career at the other station also, do you have regrets? Do you ever look back and went, well, Cataldi stayed there the whole time, Macnow stayed there the whole time, Morganti stayed there the whole time. Do you ever say to yourself, you know, maybe that should have played out differently and I should have kept just that WIP my whole career?
Yeah. Like the first time I left was because of I took WMMR morning show job with Joe.
And, Conklin.
I thought that was like a different avenue to go down. I was kind of excited to go into a different channel of radio. And then second time I came back, the altercation I regret. I mean, I wish I would have been a little calmer in that particular situation, but I have two strikes against me. I'm Sicilian and I'm a Scorpio, and that's bad DNA, and it mixes.
All right. Well, in your career, and what a great career. I don't know if you'll resume it or not. What are you proudest of, Mike? What do you really feel good about in all the years you're in radio in this city?
Yeah, I think I was most proud of asking the right question to people. Like I wasn't afraid to.
Yep.
Offend people. I think that's our newspaper training, our newspaper background, where you can't be afraid to ask a question if you think a guy's going to get angry about the question. You have to ask the question on what the people are listening for, and in a way, you're an advocate for the fan. And so I always thought, like, I'm going to make enemies because I'm going to treat some people harshly, but the harsh question needed to be asked of people. And so I think, like, the honesty that comes forth out of that, in the long run, I think people appreciate more than the pandering to people.
You were fantastic at that, Mike. Mike, you've been out of it a while now, 4 or 5 months, I guess. We had to wait 3 months for the non-compete to end. Do you miss it? What do you feel now not having it?
You know, I'll tell you where I missed it during the Phillies run, the everyday reaction that you get from fans. So I'm doing podcasts now, which you don't get that immediate reaction. So, like, that byplay was always what was good about what we did in Sports Talk Radio. And so I missed that part of it definitely during the Philly season. And I assume we're going to come down the stretch if they get to the Super Bowl. I'll miss that interaction with that. Mm. So, yeah, I do miss it. And, you know, it's weird the way the whole thing worked out. It was, you know, I didn't expect it to work out that way, but it did. And so I've tried to now reinvent myself with other things.
Well, here's the thing, Mike. That podcast, I've done a bunch of them. That got more reaction than all the others I've done put together. So I know
the one I had with you.
Yeah, you're killing it. You're killing it with the podcast. But you got, hold on a minute. I guess you have a winery you're involved in now? Is that true?
Yes. It was always a goal of mine to own a boutique winery. And I looked in Virginia and because that's where I really wanted to go. And then this winery in Cape May Courthouse, New Jersey, named Sally Vineyards, I was looking at that one. It was for sale a few years ago, and I just couldn't get it together at that particular time. So another guy bought it. And out of the blue, I emailed him, and I said, listen, I was looking at this winery. I'd really like to be involved. If you're interested in taking on a partner, I would love to be involved. And he did some research on me, and he knew that I kind of had a name in this area. So he thought it would be a good partnership. So, yeah, that's what I'm doing.
Wait a minute. I'm not done. You have a children's book out?
Yes, I have a children's book out. I have a book signing this Saturday.
Where's that?
It's at the Neshaminy Mall at Barnes & Noble from 2 to 4. It's called The Adventures of Shima the Sheba. I have a Shiba Inu dog.
Yeah.
And raising that dog was a nightmare. it's an untrainable dog. So I had an idea to write a children's book where almost like a child doing things wrong and learning from mistakes and things like that. And I just put the dog in that situation where she was an incorrigible, and so I put my head in the dog's head. These Shiba Inus look like they have thoughts, like they have human thoughts. So I matched my human thoughts with the dog's human thoughts, and the dog narrates the book, but it's really my head that's narrating it.
Well, Mike, I gotta be honest. I looked this up, right? Don't take this the wrong way. Shima looks a little bit like Askin.
Stop it.
Come on.
No, right around the eyes. You look around the eyes and the fur, it looks a little... Mike, all I could say, Mike, it's so great to have your voice back on WIP. Would you ever consider returning to radio? Or is that a part of your chapter that's over?
No, my ears are always open for...
There you go.
When this ended at the other station, I came back. I didn't expect that I was going to do anything. And all of a sudden, I got a couple calls to do some things. So, you know, I'm not ready for the grave.
Wow.
You know, I could... I think I would... listen to any opportunity if it was palatable. So, you know, that's where I stay in that. But, I'm happy right now with the pace.
Right. I'm
working with.
All these old Enquirer guys, one thing you should know about us from the beginning, when there's money involved, we're always listening.
Yeah. No, here's the beauty of you, Angela. Like, I'm listening to Ruben. Yeah. And you turn Ruben into a personality.
Ruben is a... Oh, don't get started, because Ruben, he's not... You guys didn't have the best relationship.
I'm not much of a personality. You know that, Mike.
Really, he's evolved into this radio guy now. And I look at his Twitter, and, we only had one shouting match. He was yelling at me on the field once.
Oh, okay. That's for Missinelli.
That's
one,
amazing.
One's under.
Just one.
That's
an under.
Mike.
It was one clash where you were yelling at me on the field and I was yelling back at you.
Mike, we love you. We love hearing you on WIP again. Thank you so much for doing this today. It's been fun having these conversations with you. And I don't have to wish you success. I know you'll have it, whatever you do. Thank you,
Angelo,
Mike.
It's been a delight to be back on WIP. I really appreciate it. Thanks for doing my podcast. The reaction that we got on that podcast is just pretty amazing.
People
wanted to hear the other side of Angelo as well.
Well, Mike, thank you, thank you, thank you. I hope we'll talk again soon.
All right, guys. Thanks.
Mike Missinelli returns to WIP. How much fun was that? We're coming back. We got a hot seat. We got... Welcome back at 9:25. Ruben Amaro Jr. is here. Of course, he was a general manager of the Phillies for 7 years. Ruben, I want to run somebody about my man, Howie Rose. All right, so sometime in the offseason, prior to the draft, John Robinson, the general manager of the Tennessee Titans, he looked at his cell phone, and it was Howie Roseman's name. He said, oh, let me take this call.
Right.
So Howie convinces him to trade A.J. Brown to the Philadelphia Eagles for a first-round draft pick.
Got it.
A.J. Brown is better than any first-round draft pick Howie could ever hope to get. He's phenomenal. He's 24 years old when they trade him, and he gets him, right? That guy right now, I would think, has major regrets, because after the game Sunday, the people above him in the Titans organization saw how great A.J. Brown was, and they fired John Robinson. They didn't even wait till the end of the year. Rhea,
they're
just
leading
said,
the division.
Get out,
yeah.
Get out of the building. You're a moron. Why did you take Howie's call? Right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, you do get a... Was there anybody, a GM in baseball when you were there, that had a reputation for winning every trade, winning every signing, was just really hard to be able to out-duel?
There are a lot of them, and they were tough to deal with. But to me, making trades was about equity. It was about trying to get the right right guy,
right.
And being giving up the right guys for him. I mean, talent for talent. I believed in that. But there are some guys, especially now, everybody's worried about how's it look. What are the pundits saying about it? I didn't give a crap about that. I cared about my team.
All right, I want you for a second to be a man named Mickey Loomis. All right?
Right.
Mickey Loomis is the general manager of the New Orleans Saints.
He's gone.
Mickey, is he gone? Not
yet. He's going to be.
No. Yeah. So Howie called him on the cell phone. And he looked down. Oh, here's Howie. Let me see what he's got. And Howie fleeced him out of a first-round draft pick, which currently is a top-5 pick in the next draft.
Incredible.
All right? That is that should be a crime.
I mean,
Howie,
and you got to give love to Howie. I mean, these are great trades. He's Howie had a lot of time when he had some time off to work on his craft. And I tell you what, man, he has come back bigger and stronger and better than ever before.
But I got you, bro.
What is it like for Mickey Loomis right now, knowing that he's probably got some job insecurity to begin with? And he sees, what are they, like 4-9, whatever the hell their record is. They're in one of the five worst records. That's a pick he's not getting. He's, the Eagles are getting it, and the Eagles have the best record. Is he saying to himself, if I somehow survive here, I am blocking Howie Roseman from my phone? Howie Roseman took these guys to the cleaners.
Yeah.
I mean, unbelievable.
And I don't know if that's Howie's intent. His intent was to try to be shrewd and to make the right deals and get quality players and set himself up for the future. But I like to try to do deals with guys that were fair, because then you wanted to be able to do deals with them later on as well.
Did you ever call them afterwards and apologize? Like, do you
I
think Howie
did.
Called
you?
Did you apologize?
One time I think I apologized to, was it Mark Shapiro for that deal for Cliff Lee? Because only because the one guy got hurt. And that was the young prospect, I'm brain locking on his name, had a great arm, and he literally got hurt and never really pitched again.
And you called and said, I'm sorry, because I fleeced you out of lead. The guy you got never amounted to anything.
You just hope that when you make a deal that you're getting, you know, healthy players. And unfortunately, that guy broke on him.
Wow. I would handle it differently, Johnson.
I'm thinking about it.
I'd call guy up, Mark Shapiro.
Was that Philippe Aumont, by the way?
No, it wasn't Philippe. Philippe.
Is there another, like, of all the general managers in, say, the four major sports, there can't be a more... I don't want to say fear general manager, but know that GM is going to get their way.
I wouldn't take his call. Do you understand? The last 3 years, Howie has done nothing wrong. He has made one great move.
Got rid of Wentz?
Trades.
Yeah.
He got somebody to take Wentz. and he had the audacity when the Colts said yes to say, oh, by the way, the $100 million we gave, you're paying it now. And they said yes.
Yes.
No, block him. Can't you block somebody from calling you rare?
Yes.
I would block Howie Roseman if I was another GM.
The minute you retire, I'll never take your phone call again.
You can show me how
straight
that's
to voicemail.
Right.
Yeah,
so I'll know why I'll never talk to her. I guarantee it's true. She always answers me.
I do.
Those days are dwindling.
No, that's not true.
Chuck is on live from Cherry Hill. Hi, Chucky.
Hey, what's up, gang? Yeah, so rather than get undressed by Howie, just block his call. That's
I mean,
it.
Chuck, there's no way. You know what I've learned? Howie right now is the smartest general manager in all of sports. Just look at the record.
Yeah, it's a run unlike any we could probably put forth with any GM in any sport. And you wonder how the other side participates. What do they think?
New Orleans, I mean, the guys watching their team lose every week are going, we don't even benefit from this. Howie Roseman does. How does that feel?
But I think the one that will play the largest and most beneficial is going to be what he did on his own. Hurts as a second round pick.
Oh, wow.
Franchise quarterback, Hall of Famer. And Angelo, he's going to give you more than one Super Bowl, my man. Trust me.
Here's my theory on that. Even though, Wentz had a lot of injuries and stuff, they knew something was missing. They knew that he wasn't going to be a great leader for the next decade. They were already hedging their bets. You would use a second-round pick where you just gave a guy $100 million unless you had some doubts.
Yes. Absolutely had those insights, and that's what they do professionally. Yep. That's what they can do that we don't see. You had Boa on. It was a great interview. What the fans don't realize, this is how good Boa was defensively. A good measurement for a shortstop defensively is 600 chances in a year.
Wow.
Turner's done that once. Boa had 843 and 705 more times. That's getting to a lot more balls than other shortstops. And he had Schmidt to his right to eat up a good percentage of those chances, right?
Absolutely. Chuck, I need your help with this. I want to get rid of Hoskins. I don't like him. He's going to hurt my team. What do you want to do?
That was my next point. You read my mind.
Yeah.
If I could just say this, all right? Hoskins' numbers are really good. Offensively, you're talking 70 extra base hits a year. His numbers are excellent. They don't compare. Segura's not close OPS-wise. He's not close slugging-wise. The Phillies aren't going to get rid of 70 extra base hits.
I don't need to have Segura, but I do not want Hoskins. I know I can get that production from somebody else.
Believe it or not, you're going to circle the not choice. He improved last year defensively. DRS.
Baloney. The games are televised, Chuck. He sucked.
Yeah, okay. I know. It didn't play out right. Okay, so my song. I got you.
What's your song, Chuck?
Before I hear the nerd word, I know that's coming. Oh, my God. I've been waiting for 2 hours. What the heck's this? Holly Jolly Christmas. I love that.
Jolly Christmas. Put that.
Holly hey, Jolly.
Hold
Holly
on Jolly. A second. Rope. Yeah. Are you trying to trade Hoskins?
I'm not necessarily actively trading him, but I'm listening on him.
He's listening.
He's listening. He's hoping the phone rings.
Give me
I would
your,
trade my mom me, if I was making
I know a lot of GMs in Major League Baseball, they don't have your number now. What's your number? I want them to call you.
Please don't.
All right. Dennis is up next from Motlaw. Hi, Dennis.
Radio man, how you doing today?
I'm doing great, Dennis. I'm 11-1.
If there's any style points for the Christmas song singing, that guy Stu gets it, man. He was really good.
Wow.
Terrific.
In the first time I went to him, he was incoherent.
I know.
He appeared to be having a stroke or something, so he put him back on. Joe Pep talked him. He came back on, and the guy is all of a sudden, he's Bing Crosby.
I know.
Let's not say he sounded like he was having a stroke.
God, it sounded
it's a little harsh.
Wait a second.
He just sounded like he was in a seizure of some kind.
All right, that's not any better.
All right, anyway, whatever Joe said to him, it woke him up. Go ahead, Dennis.
I'm going to ask for forgiveness because I'm going to quote Howard Eskin here.
All right.
Our basketball coach, Glenn, don't call me Doc Rivers, an idiot, a dope, and a moron. He's all three of them.
Do you believe what he said yesterday?
It'd be a miracle.
Dennis, he said that, I'd actually try to win the seven games that are all home now, next seven, if I had all my players back. So you're not going to try to win them? I don't understand. He has such a disdain for games in this time of the year.
For culture,
he
has a disdain.
He doesn't care. They're 12-12. He said they're treading water.
24 games in.
You did not sacrifice four seasons of your life for a 12-12 basketball
Longer
team.
Longer than four.
And people watch these games too, not just the games in April. Hello.
Hello.
All right. Anyway, Dennis, are you still there?
I'm here.
Give me a song.
By Josh Groban, when he sang it at the Rockefeller Tree Center, a few Oh Holy Night. Is
oh, wow. That is great.
Wow.
All right. Now, speaking of great, when we return, we have a big finish. It's part, apparently, of the hot seat, so Ava's hold it till the very end. And this is something that was produced. This is not off the cuff.
Been drinking a lot of tea,
I
though.
Went to Mr. Ruben Amaro Jr. prior to this show, and I said, Ruben, we're going to be talking a lot about the Eagles. We actually have the Eagles' fantastic Christmas album, and we're giving it away. You can't buy it right now. It would mean a lot to all of us if you, who are known to be a singer, would do a famous Latin Christmas song, Feliz Navidad. And he did it with the production work of Mr. Kyle Quinn. And Rube, have you heard yourself yet on this song?
I've heard a little bit of it.
And
not the final product.
Will this open at... Give me Christmas Baby, Please Come Home. Load that in. All right, you got that? All right, welcome back at 9:43. So we're giving away this Eagles Christmas album today. It is, Rhea, I never remember one that had this kind of traction.
No.
Jason Kelce's on talking about it. Kelce is he's an okay singer, but Maya Lotta and Lane Johnson are phenomenal.
I had no idea Lane was that good.
Did you know Lane was that good? Let me just play a little more here. This is Maya Lotta doing Christmas Baby, Please Call. Listen to that.
Oh, snow's coming down.
Listen to
him. I'm watching it fall. Watching people around. Baby, please come home. Oh, the touch button town.
He's amazing.
Wow.
He's amazing.
Wow.
No, I mean like
I'm really embarrassed now.
Put out an album. I want to listen. You're that good, right? It is a thing. If we did one here, Rhea.
Yes.
Where is there, Johnson, do you sing at all?
I can do background.
You can
do background? I'll do background vocals, yeah, because I'm out of, you're almost out of focus. Yeah, you can do that. Why would you be lead?
No, I can't sing at all.
Well, who would?
I'm trying to figure it out. Maybe Eskin? Can Eskin sing?
Eskin?
Can Howard Eskin sing at all?
I don't think so.
John Ritchie can sing.
Oh, that's right. Ritchie can sing.
All right, what about the camera?
I'm not so sure about that.
What about John Marks? He has some pipes.
I don't know about that either.
You know what?
I bet Ruben, I could sing.
Who could sing?
I bet I could sing.
Ike, maybe. Al couldn't.
No.
He wouldn't anyway.
No.
It's too much work. here's the thing. You know what? Rube said, Rube, there's been talk of having an album with the broadcasters?
Yeah, Johnny Cruck has been trying to make this happen. I think that, and it'd be cool because John can sing.
He can.
Larry Anderson's got a great voice, right?
Larry Anderson does?
And yeah, he's got a great radio voice, so you would think that he'd be able to sing a little bit.
T-Mac
probably can sing a little bit. So,
well, that's the thing.
I think
they
we're trying to make
not,
it happen.
They may not be in tune. And you, of course, would be a marquee guy because now you're singing on this show?
Oh, well, you'll soon find out why. You'll soon
anyway,
find out
that well,
I'm not
Ava,
a marquee guy.
Glenn Mack now. He sings.
Glenn Mack.
Right.
Is a show tune
there
guy.
There you go.
He's the song and dance man. All right, Ava Graham.
Yes.
Who's on the hot seat?
Well, Angelo, today, Ruben Amar Jr. is on the hot seat.
Great.
Brought to you by Xfinity, the fastest internet in Philadelphia, and the sponsor of WIP's Xfinity Lounge. Hot seat. Angelo, you've been building to it all show. Ruben Amar Jr. singing Feliz Navidad. Now, Judy, Ruben's own mother called in, and you asked her this, Angelo.
Is Ruben a good singer?
I don't think so.
Burn, Judy. Burn. But
that was Judy Amar.
She's Judy Amar. It's his own mother
she's
saying
being honest.
She doesn't think he's a good singer. Do you think it's time?
No. I'm not ready yet.
Not ready yet.
No, because here's what I have done. I have brought in a studio audience.
Yes.
I have Kate, Khalid, and Jacqueline.
Yes.
And they have sworn to me they will give a spontaneous reaction to the Feliz Navidad version that is being done by Ruben Amar Jr.
Yeah.
All right? They will boo him live in this studio shortly.
Well, and if you want to get
won't
that,
be the first time.
If you want to get that broadcaster's album going, they're Philly PR girls, so maybe they can, you know, team up with you and maybe this is really your opportunity, Ruben, but I guess we will find out.
How do you know they're going to boo him?
What's that?
You don't know if they're going to boo him.
I don't know if they're booing. Maybe they remember some of the traits.
They may standing up. Oh, God.
Right?
What is this?
Girls, if you're not pleased with what you hear, just channel Philippe Omar.
Wow.
All right. That's a joke. It's a joke. I have already heard this, and the reason I put him out is because the man is a crooner. He is a fine song stylist, but not yet. Rube, we still got to get our winners today for our great prizes provided by Miss Cindy Webster. Self is up from North Philly. Hi, Self. Self, are you there? Self has left us. Then I will turn to my own personal friend and a song stylist in his own right, Will of God. Hi, Will.
No, what's up, Dad? That's my rap partner, Self. I know rapper to him, man.
We had a guy in from Herman Melville and the Blue Notes.
Melvin.
Or whatever. We had a guy who was a professional singer, Will.
Yeah. Shoot, you know what? Best of my life is today's my son's birthday, man.
Oh, happy birthday to Will's son.
Yeah, happy birthday, man. And my youngest son, his birthday was December 4th. So, you know, it's kind of crazy that I got to go through every year because Christmas be coming. You know, I got to get more money. But what I'm going to do, man, I'm going to work on something.
All right.
I'm going to do it, but I'm going to make up a song, a revised song of Jason Kelce's They Don't Like Us.
Oh, I like it. Are you going to do that right now, Will?
Well, no, I was going to do it later because hopefully one day I can get Jason Kelce to do it on it. But today,
all right.
Make up a song, you know, because it's Christmas time or whatever.
Right.
And if you want me to make it up, I'll just go like that on them, you know?
All right, go ahead. Make up a song right now about Christmas.
Christmas? All right. Listen, WIP, Christmas time is coming, so let's do it. Hey, everybody, are you ready to play? It's Christmas time is coming in your town today. Hey, everybody, are you ready to play? It's Christmas time is coming in your town today.
All right, hold on, Will. I have the studio audience here. Let me work with these girls. Girls, how did you feel about Will of God? Oh, no, Will. Well, they're booing you.
Wow. I have great fear now.
Will, they're booing the crap out of you.
Well, you got to change it up. You know.
No, you're done now. Will, give me a famous holiday song.
Christmas time is coming.
Christmas time is coming.
3 minutes of all our lives we're not getting back.
Shut up, Johnson. Johnson, I'm telling you something else, too. Rhea's already assured me. Long after I'm gone, Will will be a regular part of this.
Oh, I'm sure he will.
Who assured you of that?
The camera.
Okay, good luck with that.
John Ritchie. He's John Ritchie's type. Kenny's up from the Dirty 30. Hi, my brother.
You know, this is why I could never own a professional sports team, aside the fact that I'm not a billionaire.
Right.
If I was Jeffrey Lurie, I would have fired Howie the minute he said Jalen Reagor and not Justin Jefferson. But Jeffrey Lurie stuck with him, and look how great he did. Now look at what the Titans GM. One mistake, he's done.
Yep. And you know the New Orleans guy's going, too. Can he fleece the New Orleans? I don't know what happened the last 3 years. This has been three perfect years in a row by Howie Roseman.
I don't know either, because I was so mad at Howie for that Justin Jefferson thing, and he totally made it up. He totally made it up.
Oh, my God. Kenny, yeah, are you going to New York?
I was. Now I'm not. Darn it.
What's going on? What happened?
Nah, nothing I can't talk about in the air. But
it's the wife.
Okay. Whatever it is, Kenny. The one thing, have we taken over the Meadowlands the way I have so many other ballparks in this country?
You know, here's the best thing about the NFC East. Three of the teams are within an hour and a half of each other. So those day trips are easy for the Eagle fans to do, and they do them.
Good.
And, I hate it. I'm missing it because that's just an easy – matter of fact, the way traffic's been lately and the way the parking situation is at the link anymore, it takes just as long to get to the Meadowlands as it does to the link.
All right, Kenny, I need a song right now.
I'm a big sleigh ride guy.
Sleigh ride.
Come on, it's lovely weather for a sleigh ride together with you.
Beautiful song. Let's get some more songs. Devin, what's your song?
My song is Run DMC, Christmas and Hollis.
Yes.
All right, Run DMC, Christmas and Hollis.
Are you familiar with it, Edge?
Not at all.
It's really a lot of fun.
John, I need a song.
Joy to the World.
Joy to the World.
Not really a Christmas song, is it?
Max, I need a Christmas song.
It's called Eagles Beat Dallas for Christmas. I want to sing it. Eagles beat Dallas for Christmas. Jalen will have another record day. Offensive line, give Hurts some time to set up our screenplay. The defense will sack Zach three times, and Zeke will be contained. My Christmas dream is a block from Dean. And Cubby goes all the way.
Wow, Max, is that it? Nice. Is that a finalist?
It is not.
All right, Max, thank you very much.
That was a nice rendition.
While we're thinking that over, ladies and gentlemen, it's a great honor to be able to introduce the debut of Ruben Amaro Jr. as a song, doing a song I know you love.
Yes,
from
I am.
Jose Feliciano. Feliciano. I prefer the Latin version of that song. And this, ladies and gentlemen, is Ruben Amaro singing Feliz Navidad.
Feliz Navidad. Feliz Navidad. Feliz Navidad. Prospero año y felicidad. Feliz Navidad. Feliz Navidad. Feliz Navidad. Prospero año y felicidad.
Love it.
I wanna wish you a Merry Christmas. I wanna wish you a Merry Christmas. I wanna wish you a Merry Christmas from the bottom of my heart. Feliz Navidad. Feliz Navidad. Feliz Navidad. Prospero año y felicidad. Feliz Navidad. Feliz Navidad. Feliz Navidad. Prospero año y felicidad. I wanna wish you a Merry Christmas. I wanna wish you a Merry Christmas. I wanna wish you a Merry Christmas from the bottom of my heart.
Wow.
That is bad, Doctor. A lot of that.
Wow, they're going wild.
The high notes were a little rough.
There are two things in there, yep. I will say. You sing amazing in Spanish.
Oh, yes. Like, that's what
really,
I got.
Really good. The English, I did not. So,
yes.
Not so good.
but I'm telling you,
wow.
Man, you
wow.
do have talent.
You do.
You were pitchy in the English
Very
part,
pitchy.
But man, you should just do only Latin
yes.
stuff. It was phenomenal. You're a good sport. I loved it.
Judy was right. When he got about 38 seconds in, when he went to English, he rushed it.
All right, shut up. Don't you ruin his moment. That was excellent. I don't see you doing it, jackass. Anyway, I need you to name our four best songs.
Yes, sir.
And,
all right, so,
Johnson, give the title.
We have four prizes. Number four will win a pair of passes to the Founding Footsteps Holiday Light Trolley Tour, foundingfootsteps.com, something that Cindy can relate to.
I actually rented this trolley for my birthday. You can
right.
do that. So right, it's
cool,
amazing.
Nice. So
number four will win.
A late entry was Oh Holy Night.
All right.
Holy night.
Number three, win a pair of 3-day general admission passes to the Tidal Wave Music Festival, which is on the beach in Atlantic City next August 11th through the 13th. Information, TidalWaveFest.com.
And that is Silent Night by The Temptations.
All right. We have a copy of A Philly Special Christmas. Jason Kelsey, Lane Johnson, Jordan Mylotta. Impossible to get. We have one.
Shocking. This is White Christmas.
Oh, White Christmas. And finally, number one.
A $250 gift card to Del Frisco's Double Eagle Steakhouse.
It's got to be Nat King Cole, the Christmas song. It's number one.
Aaron, he's got great taste there, too.